I got a card in the mail the other day from a little lady in Texas. Anybody got an idea who it might be? Yeah. Carlene Thomas, yeah? And she wanted me to read this to you folks today. She said, Dear Pastor Ray and Lisa and Conqueror's class, wishing you peace, love, and happiness as you celebrate the miracle of the Easter season. Have a blessed day. With love in Christ, Carlene Thomas. She said, please share this with the class and let them know that I miss them. So she wanted me to let you know that she misses you. And if you get a chance, maybe go online or just send her a little card or something like that and let her know that you're still praying for her. But God is good. Amen. What a week. Man, we get to celebrate a risen Savior. And we get to celebrate the fact that, man, He's coming back again. And I am thankful to know that Jesus is coming again. Amen. He's coming again. So many times we get so bewildered by the things of this whole world. And we get caught up in the things of this world. And we forget that God keeps His promises. He keeps His promises. And God's going to keep His promise. The Lord Jesus will keep His promise. I want you to look at something with me today. We're going to start, just turn to Isaiah, okay? We're going to have different places all through here today. But I want you to see something today. It's going to be a two-part lesson. I'll tell you up front, okay? It's already a two-part lesson, okay? And we're going to put it in two parts. It's just too much to cover and try to get in. And where's John? I apologize. I didn't remember your anniversary, brother. I'm sorry. Looks like your wife didn't either. She didn't come. Huh? Absence makes the heart grow fonder, right? Amen. Amen. That's good. Amen. All right. I want you to look at this with me today. In Isaiah chapter 35, let's look at Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1, just a moment. I'm going to give you a verse here that will go along with the lesson. The lesson today, being April the 16th, 2023, the lesson is entitled Messiah's Kingdom, part 1. Okay, part 1. But this verse says, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1. The thought that came to my mind when I was studying on this lesson and working on it was the song that we just sang. What a day that will be. You know, we don't realize what all God has in store for us. We can't fathom it in our minds. We just can't understand everything that God's got for us. Now, I say that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can't understand all that. But I want you to remember, too, that God made promises to the Jewish people that He's going to keep with them as well. I don't know if you've noticed all the battling and all the fighting going over in the Middle East right now. Brother Malad sent an email yesterday, and he asked us to be praying for the pastors and the churches there in the North Sudan area. They're getting bombed and hammered terribly. Bombings and shootings and just random killings. And they were to the point, they weren't sure what to do about church services or anything because of the violence that's going on over there. But folks, the whole area is just, it's just like it's a powder keg with the wick being burned down quicker and quicker to the powder. And it's going to all come to a head one of these days. But you know what? God is in control. And He has promised some things. And I want you to see this today. As Isaiah is talking to the people of God that have rebelled against Him, and they've done all kinds of things against God, Isaiah is telling them, but God has not forgotten His promises. He's not forgotten them. And as we live in the joy of knowing Christ as a risen Savior, we know Christ. Many of the Jewish people do not yet know Christ as their Savior. They don't yet know Him, and they don't know the joy that He gives. But when I read the Word of God and how that God, in the form of His own precious Son, He came into this world for one specific purpose, and that was to die for you and for me. And He paid the debt for the sins of the whole world. And the people of God, God's chosen people, the Jews, you know, they had become blinded because they rejected Him. But there's coming a day when their eyes are going to be open. And boy, they're going to see, they're going to understand, they're going to know Him as their Messiah. And Isaiah is trying to give them the joy of knowing, listen, God never breaks a promise. Have you ever had somebody break a promise with you? Somebody tell you one thing and then they do something else? Man, that's awful. I never try to lie to my dog. And I'm serious about that now. I'm telling you. She gets outside. And buddy, when she gets outside, she just wants to roam the range. I mean, she's everywhere. She went all the way up to Highway 27. And I thought, man, she's going to get out here and get hit, and I'm going to lose my little girl. And so what I do...
Precious.
Lisa's pretty good with coming back every now and then. You know. She's pretty good about coming back. But she'll be three. She's three, yeah. But what I have to do to get her to come back to me is, hey, Precious, come on, baby. You want to go ride? You want to go ride? And those little ears will perk up and look at me. I say, come on, baby, let's go ride. And she comes running, just coming running. And so I have to have the van ready. And she'll get in that van. I can't lie to her, because if I lie to her, she won't believe me the next time. Okay? And so I get her in the van, and I'll just ride her up to the mailbox, come out, and come right back down. And she's just as happy as a pig in the mud. I mean, she's just happy as anything. But you know what? I've got a Savior that never lies. He never lets me down. And when I get off the trail, so to speak, if I get discouraged and down by the way, He'll say, come on, just think about it. We're going to take a ride one day. I'm going to come and get you one day. Come on now, you got to get back in there and start serving me again. And you know what? It works every time. God was wanting His people to know that, listen, I've done something for you. I've made a promise. I've promised that the Messiah is going to come. He's going to come to deliver you from your sins. He's going to deliver you from the hands of the enemy. And there's a kingdom that's coming. And when that comes, what a day that's going to be. What a day it's going to be. So I want us to look at this thing today. I want us to look at this lesson. It's entitled Messiah's Kingdom. And I want you to look today basically at the physical aspects of this kingdom. Again, we're going to look at several verses and things in the Bible, but I want to share some things with you, because sometimes people get this messed up. There are a lot of preachers today that have it messed up. They think that we are going to go through the tribulation, as the church. They think some of them think we're going through it right now. And that, you know, we're going to have to go through all these things. Listen, we have not been saved under wrath. The days of the tribulation that come upon this world are going to be when God pours out His wrath upon those who have rejected Him and those that have called Him the names and the things that they've done. And He's going to send down His wrath upon those folks. You and I have been saved from the wrath to come. And I'm going to show you some things here today. And I want you to understand the recognition of some terms today that float around. And I want you to see these things. That's not the Lord calling now, okay? I don't want anybody to get excited here now. He's not ready to call us home. But I want you to see some of these things today. There's two terms that I want you to look at today. Number one is the term millennial. Millennial. Now, we talk about the millennials today, okay, this younger crowd. They're in a new century. They're in a new... I don't know where they're at. I really don't know where they're at, but they're out there, okay? But that word millennial basically is talking about a 1,000-year time period, okay? And then we have the term messianic, okay? That's referring to the Messiah, okay? And that word Messiah is the promised one. He's Christ Jesus. He's the one that was promised that would come. And that term millennial refers to that time frame where God is going to set up the Lord Jesus is going to set up his kingdom right here on this earth for 1,000 years. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. He's going to rule. There's going to be peace on this world, on this earth, for 1,000 years. It's not going to be anything like it's ever been before. And all of these things, I want you to understand what it's talking about here. So number one, I want you to see the definition of the millennial positions, okay? We here at Church of the Open Door, we believe what the Bible says. I hope you can say that today. I hope that you will say, listen, it's not what I say, it's not what the preacher says, it's not what Pastor Ray says, but it's what the Bible says that makes all the difference. And we believe and we teach the Bible, okay? And we teach that the Bible so clearly shows us how that Christ Jesus, our Messiah, the Jews' Messiah, the coming one, one day, even as he promised before he went back up into heaven, he promised that he would come back again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we could be with him. He's going to do that. And he's going to come back and get his bride, the church. And we are that called out assembly of believers, the local church. We are the church. Now, I'm a part of God's church, the Christ church. Pastor Malad, all the way over in Beirut, he is part of that same church. And you know what? If we know Christ as our Savior, we are a part of that church of Christ. That church. That's what we're a part of. It's not the denomination that believes and teaches other things, okay? The Church of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, the Church of Christ. A lot of the churches have different names and things like that, and they believe and they teach a lot of times different doctrine, much different doctrine than what is found in the Bible. But we are today, I want you to understand, we are pre-millennial believers, okay? Pre-millennial believers. Now, this is a teaching that Messiah's return will be before the 1,000-year reign begins. There's a lot of people today that are teaching a lot of different things. And I want you to understand today that Christ is going to come, and when he comes and he sets up this kingdom, he's going to be ruling and reigning in that kingdom. We're not here ruling and reigning without him. We will be there with him, okay? And we are premillennials. The premillennialist view of the Bible teaches that this event, this 1,000-year reign of Christ, it's going to happen according to the Scriptures. Some 7 years after Christ takes us out and the rapture takes place and the tribulation time goes through, then he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Okay? Christ returns before that. Okay? Does everybody understand that? That's why we are called premillennial believers. All right? Now, there's another term here I want you to look at. There is what they call post-millennialism, okay? The post-millennialism people believe that, and some actually believe that the world will gradually become a better place and everything's going to work out and everybody's going to live in peace and, you know, the 1,000-year reign is going to take place. Then Messiah is going to come. And he's going to judge the dead and establish his eternal state of peace and all this stuff. Well, let me say something. That's not going to happen. I mean, look at the world around you today. And you tell me, is it getting better or is it getting worse? It's not getting better. That's a fact. Folks, the world is not getting better. It's getting worse. And Messiah, Christ Jesus, left his church here on this earth, not because he didn't want us to go to heaven, but because he wanted everybody else to be able to know the gospel, be saved, and be able to go to heaven. So he has left us here, his church. He has left us here to be witnesses for him. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall be witnesses unto me, okay, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what he told his disciples. And folks, listen, think about this. If they had not been faithful to believe the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I today would have never heard about the gospel. We wouldn't have this book we call God's Holy Word, the Bible. We would have not had it because they believed that God had left them here. The Lord Jesus had left them here for a purpose. And sometimes we suffer through things. We anguish about things. We deal with heartaches and sickness and people around us that don't like us and all this other stuff for a reason. God has left us here for a reason. Why? So that we can show the world that there is truly something else worth living for. It's not just about self. God has left us here for a purpose, and that purpose is to teach others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be both salt, okay? Salt is a preservative, all right? It's a preservative. I keep thinking to myself, if I put enough salt on my corn and my beans and things like that, I'm going to live forever. It's not going to be like that. That's not what it's talking about. But salt does preserve, okay? They salt ham. They salt meat. They salt things to preserve it, to keep it from getting worse than what it would be without the salt. Now think about that just a minute. You and I are both salt and we are light. We are to be the light that shines out. We are not that light, the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are to be like the moon, the stars in the heavens above. They reflect a light that folks around you cannot see. At night, I love to go out at night. I thought I left the lights on at the back of the house one night because everything was just lit up outside. And I thought, what in the world? And I went downstairs, the lights were out, and I thought, what is going on? And I took Precious out, you know, because I wanted to make sure I was safe. And but I took Precious out just for one more walk, okay? And you know what? It was the moon reflecting. It was a clear night, beautiful outside. And it was just shining. I mean, it would hurt your eyes to look at this full moon in the reflection of the light of the sun that we couldn't see. The sun was on the other side, okay? It had not moved. The earth had rotated. But it had rotated to the point that the sun was actually shining on the other side of the world. But the moon was reflecting that greater light that I could not see in the darkness of night. That's what you and I are to be. We're to be just a ball of dust, just like the moon. You take away the water and you got just a few pounds of dirt and dust and minerals. And we are to reflect the light that the world cannot see. We're to be salt and we're to be light. And because that light overcomes the darkness. I didn't need a flashlight outside. I mean, things were lit up. You could literally see everything around you because of the reflected light. Now, can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get to heaven and we see the light of the world? No wonder there's not going to be a need for a flashlight or a candle or anything like that when we get to heaven. Not going to be a need because he is going to be the light thereof. He's going to be the glory thereof when we get home to be with him. But how many of you have noticed, especially of late, this world is not getting any better. It's not getting better. It's getting worse and worse and worse. Pastor Milad texted me or sent that email yesterday again. And he told me about all the violence. He sent pictures of it. Bombs exploding in the middle of the cities. And people just scattered everywhere. The buildings just torn all to pieces. And all over in that area. All over in that area. The world seems to be coming and fighting over one little piece of land that was promised to God's people. And the devil says, I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it away. And God says, oh, no, you're not. Not only are you not going to take it away, but I'm going to give them more than what they've got right now. And I'm going to fulfill my promise. So the post-millennialists believe that Christ isn't coming back till all this other peace and everything happens. They're wrong. That is not what the Bible says. And then you got the amillennialists, okay? Okay, which means no or not, okay? They don't believe really anything. They don't care. They just don't care. Their belief is simply that there is and never will be a time when Jesus Christ will physically rule and reign as what the Bible says. It's sort of like the Sadducees. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in anything spiritual like that. And as Dr. Smith used to say, that's why they are sad, you see. Okay? That's why they were Sadducees. They didn't believe anything. But again, this is not the Word of God. The Word of God plainly tells us that He is physically coming back again. Amen? And what a day that's going to be. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. When you watch the world news, and even the local news, okay, just the local news, which is only centered around Baltimore here, does it appear to you that Satan is bound already? I don't think Satan is bound. These amillennialists teach that right now Satan is already bound and we're just dealing with people and things like that. Folks, that is not the biblical view of what is going on in our world today. And sad to say, a lot of churches, a lot of pastors are teaching this false doctrine. They're teaching a false doctrine. So if you read the Bible and you take time to study it, you'll see exactly why we are considered to be premillennial, pre-tribulation, okay, believers, because we believe that Christ is going to do exactly what He said in His Word. Do we see that today? Amen? You understand that? All right, I want you to look at the second thing here. I want you to see the defense of the premillennial position and worldview. I want you to see this. When God spoke through His prophets, He told them the things that would come to pass. And when God told them that these things were going to come to pass, He meant that they were going to come to pass. And when we interpret the Scriptures literally just as God has declared them, we understand that God is a keeper of His Word. And the Jews needed to understand that. They needed to understand. Listen, just because they were suffering, just because they were going through the persecution that they were going through, they had brought it upon themselves. They had chosen to rebel. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, God told them, if you will do what I say do, if you'll obey me and not rebel, these are the blessings I'm going to give to you. And all the nations around you, you're going to see them suffering, but you will not suffer like that. But if you do not obey, and if you reject me, and you just do everything contrary, okay, then He goes on for another chapter and a half, two more chapters, talking about all the things that are going to come to pass. And they were cast out. They were scattered from their land. They went into different nations that they had no control of. I mean, they were an outcast people. And I want you to see the uncomplicated presentation of the covenants of God. God made some promises, some covenants with His people. And three main ones were the Abrahamic covenant, when God promised Abraham, okay, that He was going to have a certain seed through Sarah. And let me say this, those that are fighting today against Israel over in that area, the Islamic people, are not the promised seed that God gave the information to Abraham. That was not the promised seed. That is through Hagar. Listen, and I hope I don't mess up anybody and make anybody mad, but when you read the Bible, you see what happens. There was a woman that gave a marriage ceremony, okay? And the first woman that gave the first marriage ceremony you read about in the Bible was Sarah. She gave her own maid, an Egyptian maiden, to her husband and said, take her and raise up seed because God's not going to be able to keep His promise. I'm old, I can't have children anymore, and God can't do it, so I'm going to give you my handmaid, okay? And God told Abraham, that's not what I said. And Ishmael, when he was born, okay, when he was born, he was not the promised seed. God gave the promised seed. And who did it come through? Isaac. And who did Isaac, who was Isaac's mother? Sarah. Now, she may have been in her 90s when she had that child, but God fulfilled his promise because God wanted Abraham, God wanted Sarah, and God wanted all the world to know that this promise is going to be fulfilled by me and not man. Amen. The same way God did this with a virgin. With a virgin. Without the help of a man, God brought his son into this world through a virgin. The Holy Spirit of God planted that seed within her, and she gave birth to Messiah. And God kept that promise. And one day, listen, one day the seed of Abraham is going to be right there in Jerusalem, reigning on the throne. Guess what his name is going to be? Messiah. King Jesus, that's going to be him. He gave the Abrahamic covenant. He gave the Davidic covenant that promised that David's seed would one day rule and reign, okay, on the throne of David there in Jerusalem. And then there's God's land covenant that he gave unto them. And he said, all this land is all going to be yours. The world today says, not so. We're going to take it. And we got nation upon nation upon nation trying to take away from God's people that which God promised unto them. Now, do you think God is going to put up with that very much longer? I don't think so. God is going to fulfill his promises. Why? Because it is an unconditional provision. It's unconditional. God said, I said this and I will bring it to pass. God's going to do it. And yet we see unfulfilled promises of these covenants. And people come back and say, well, see, God hasn't done this yet. God must have forgotten about his people. God has broken his word. God's not going to be able to fulfill this covenant. At the right time, God is going to fulfill his covenant with these people. And Isaiah was trying to help them to understand, you know what? You may not be in that land as of yet. You may not have all the things that God has promised to you yet. But there is coming a day, and what a day that will be, when you will experience the fulfillment of all these promises that God gave. Now, how is he going to do it? Through the regathering of Israel. The regathering. During that millennial reign of Messiah, during that time, Israel is once again going to be at the very center of God's program for all the world to see. And you know what? We see the pieces of that puzzle being all put together today. Everything in the news today deals around what's happening in the Middle East. Everything is about what's happening around Israel. And in spite of what any other world leader may say or any other prediction about Israel's demise, okay, Jehovah God himself has promised that the true seed of Abraham will indeed possess that land, and Messiah will rule and reign as the king of all the nations. It's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. Now, I want you to look at this. One day, we're going to see the returning of the Jews. Now, because of sin and rebellion, the Jews were cast out. They were scattered everywhere. They went all kinds of places. And if you look back at Deuteronomy chapter 13, you can see this was a fulfillment of what God told them. If you obey, then you stay. If you disobey, you got to go. God promised. But that day when Israel and when the Jews come back again, it's coming. It's going to come. There's what, 14 million, I think, right now, Jews living in Israel right now. Would you believe that there are more Jews living in the United States than there are in Israel right now? More. But they're going to go back one day. They're going to get that signal from God. They're going to have a longing in their hearts. As a matter of fact, The Bible said, and you can turn to this, Genesis chapter 15, just a moment. Look at this with me. Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis chapter 15, beginning in verse 18, the Bible said, in that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. Now listen to the borders. From the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. All that Middle East area is going to go to the Jews. All of it. These Islamic people today are saying, you're not taking this from me because we're of the seed of Abraham. And they are of the seed of Abraham through Hagar. But that is not the seed that God promised would be considered his. They are not the ones. Not only will the Jews return to their promised land, but we're going to see then a restored kingdom. Now I want you to see this. After the Jews are gathered into the land of Israel, Messiah is going to reign upon the throne of David just as God promised a long time ago. Look at Isaiah chapter 9, just a moment. We oftentimes quote these verses at Christmas. And that's the only time that we really think about it. But Isaiah didn't have Christmas in mind when he said this, okay? He was trying to encourage his people. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. He's predicting about how that God is going to send the Messiah into the world through the birth of a virgin girl. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. And look at this last sentence. The zeal, the excitement, the promise of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God says, you've got my word on this. I'm going to make sure it happens. Now, in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4, and I don't have time to read the verse, but his rule is going to be strong, okay? And it's going to seem severe in application, but it's going to be strong. And Isaiah promised in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 1, that his rule should not just be strong, but it's going to be a righteous ruling. And he said, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse number 12, in that day, it's going to be fulfilled where God, through the prophet Samuel, he said something unto David. And this is what he said. Speaking unto David, he said, when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I, Jehovah God, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. God is going to do this, folks. He's going to restore the kingdom to these Jewish people, to the nation of Israel. Man, not only are they going to be regathered and the kingdom restored, but Jerusalem shall then be seen as a regal city. It's going to be seen as a place like no other place upon this earth. Now I want you to look at this. In Isaiah chapter 2, turn over to Isaiah chapter 2 just a moment. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Isaiah wrote these words. He said, and it shall come to pass. Remember that. Without a doubt, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Can you imagine the splendor of that city when our Savior is ruling and reigning in it? Can you imagine? I've seen Jerusalem. We got to go on that trip to Israel. I've seen all the turmoil and the unrest and the distress that they're living in today. But in that day that's coming, oh, it's going to be a lot different. Things are going to be different, folks. And God is going to make sure of it. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Look at this. We're going to see the reconstruction of the waste places. God is going to do some reconstruction. I cleaned up my study yesterday. And I had stuff in there for the whole year. I had to get my taxes done, and I worked on it very diligently this year, all day on Friday, okay? Try to get it done, get it in, all day on Friday. But I had to clean up my office down there because I had stuff just stacked, you know, with everything the way it was, with the tornado hitting the house and all this stuff and the work being done on that, and then Lisa getting sick in January and everything just being kind of crazy. I had to clean it all up. I was just going nuts inside there. I couldn't sit down to do anything. And I was sitting in there last night just thinking about, man, redoing all this, fixing it, cleaning it, and having it organized, a place for everything and everything in its place. And you know what? God is going to do that one day. The Lord Jesus is going to do that in Israel. And he's going to reconstruct it. Look at Isaiah chapter 49 just a moment. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 18 and 19. Isaiah wrote these words. He said, lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. For the waste, thy waste and thy desolate places, and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of his inhabitants, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. God's going to fix things. Amen. Look at Isaiah chapter 60 just a moment. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. He speaks words of encouragement and refreshing to his people, and he says this, arise, shine. I saw somebody with a t-shirt the other day that said, I may rise, but I refuse to shine. But you know what? God says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And switch over now to one more chapter, Isaiah chapter 61. Move over one chapter, look at verses 4 and 5. And he said, and they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers will stand and feed your flocks. And the son of the alien shall be your plowmen and your wine dressers. Sin has and will again bring awful desolation to this land of promise. Sin has done all that. Not trusting God has done that. But during the millennial reign of Messiah, there's going to be a lot of difference for the people of God. Amen? It's going to be different. And you know what? We're going to see it. And then we're going to see, number four, the rejuvenation of the desert. In the days of Lot, if you'll remember, when Abraham said to Lot, listen, you pick a place. If you go to the east, then I'll go to the west. If you go north, I'll go south. And Lot lifted up his eyes toward what? Toward the plains of Sodom. For it was well watered. It was beautiful and all these things. Listen, that is not the situation today in that area. The Dead Sea, okay? There's nothing there but desert and wildernesses and all these other things. But one day, God is going to allow the rains to return and replenish, rejuvenate the desert. And the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 23, "Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures." It's going to be like it was before the sin, before those days. There's going to be a restructuring of animals. Now, I particularly believe in my heart that when God gave Adam dominion of all the earth, he gave him the opportunity to name all the animals. If this was a zebra, if that's what Adam wanted to call it, that's what it was called. If Adam wanted to call it an alligator or a crocodile or a monkey or a chimpanzee, whatever it was, he named all those animals. But I believe with all my heart, with having dominion over everything, that Adam could communicate with those animals. I believe there was communication. I think that's why, this is my personal feeling, I believe that's why Eve was not surprised when a serpent starts talking to her in a tree, okay? If I were there and the serpent started talking to me in a tree today, things would be different, okay? All right? It would be different. But in that day, I really believe that God had given him dominion and he could be able to do anything and talk with those creatures and things like that. But in the Bible said that the curse of sin came upon this land. And in Noah's day, when they came off the earth, the fear and dread of man was put into the animals. And man could then eat the animals and vice versa. And fear and dread came into the land. But he's going to restructure everything. And listen, the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9, "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard's going to lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion and the fatling all together, and a little child shall lead them. And the care and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat the straw like an ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of an asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand into the cockatrice's den, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." God's going to make things different. Amen? These are just the physical aspects. But if you'll come back next Sunday, I'm going to give you the spiritual aspects, okay? All right? What a day that's going to be. Amen? And we need to pray for the Lord Jesus to come again. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I do love you today. And I thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you give me to teach this class. And I pray, oh God, that you will bless this lesson today and help us to see that you are a God of promise. You never break your word. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to remember that today as we serve you. Help us, Lord, to pray for the peace of Israel. I pray, God, that your return would be soon. And God, until that day, help us to be found faithful to tell others how to be saved. And God, we'll thank you for what you do because we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.